Let's do open up together to Revelation chapter 16. I realize the hour, so while you're turning, let me go ahead and give us that quick review, because Revelation is a picture. It's a picture painted across several chapters that needs to be looked at all at once. That's one of the difficulties in doing study of Revelation, is we have a tendency, because of time and mental energy and our own capacity to grasp what's going on, because each verse draws so much from the Old Testament, draws so much from our understanding of theology, to come up with an understanding of, or to have an understanding that is correct of the vision that John is seeing of heaven, that we struggle to get through it all and create that large picture of what's being presented. And so we need to do a very quick review. We are at the point now where we're moving, I hate to call it downhill, we're moving to Judgment Day at a quicker clip. Now things are beginning to unfold more rapidly, and the heavens are opening up. In chapter 14, at verse 14, we began to see the sickle being put forth, and we saw the redeemed, and we saw the damned being gathered. And so we see that picture there. Then it's described from a little different angle, even tonight. In chapter 15, we see the temple of God opening up, and we talked about it allegorically or metaphorically with the curtain that was torn in two, and we see into the holy place. We see God, and we talk about the presence of God. All along in the backdrop of this has been the kingdom of God rolling back the kingdom of Satan as the earth and creation fell and in sin, and as man fell in sin, judgment was called out upon them. And then there was the very promise at the very beginning that God would reclaim and not just repair, but completely restore His creation, meaning man and creation itself, which was fallen into sin. And ever since then, Satan, depicted as a dragon, has been trying to stop that, trying to frustrate that. He was cast out of heaven at the incarnation. He followed the woman until she gave birth, and he lost the battle in heaven among the heavenlies, and we discussed that at length. And then since then, he has been raining his angst, anxieties, and his evil and his temper upon God's people here on earth. We will come to a point where not having the mark of the beast, I'm going to have to review that very quickly because that comes into play tonight, where those not having that mark will not be able to buy and sell and trade. In other words, we won't be a part of the system. And what was the mark? The mark 6, verses 7, 7 being completion, the Lord's Day, signifying Sabbath, that is, the seventh day of creation. 6 is the ultimate accomplishment of man. It is the best that man can do. It's all the days of man in their fullness. And we, again, spent some time at length discussing the economic systems and the allure of satanic systems as a replacement for the things of God. That the world would offer you anything and everything to bring you joy, that would be a replacement for the spiritual fulfillment that you find in God. And so it'll take you through to 6 and then halt you at 6, saying this is the best we can do. This is utopia. This is the pinnacle of human achievement. We will fix you physically. We will fix you economically. We will give you joy and pleasure in the entertainment industry. It's the book of Ecclesiastes offered to us as a replacement theology for the discipleship that belongs to a Christian. And so those who choose that have now bought into the kingdom of the world and have become citizens fully of all that man and all that the world can offer, and have rejected the kingdom of God, which requires selflessness, sacrifice, and the way of discipleship. And so let's now, and I know that was very quick. Hopefully I've reviewed this now so often that these are bringing back some of the fuller details. But let's look at chapter 16. I'm going to read through verse 8, only the first 4 of these bowls. And notice, if I can call your attention to this, there are some very strong parallels to the plagues of Egypt, and of course, very strong parallels with the 7 seals that we have already studied in some detail. Although these are, as I'm going to show you, there's much more finality here. Hear the word of God. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the 7 angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in the charge of the waters say, and here you have this heavenly anthem now to the glory of God, "Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch the people with fire. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. All right. So we have these four bowls of judgment that are being poured out. And again, if you were to go back and begin to follow, you would see the parallels that are being drawn. So are we restating? Are we going through the same thing over and over again? There is, in literature, in biblical literature, something called progressive parallelism. And if you think about that, it's not complicated. Parallel means alongside. And so we see these alongside each other, but we also see them becoming more progressive. For example, the first time we were dealing with these issues being released upon the earth, it affected a fourth of the earth. It affected a fourth of the people on the earth, one quarter of the people on the earth. And then when the plagues were released upon creation, it affected one third of the creation, a third of the seas, a third of the soils, one third of creation was affected. Now we see these are global. When these bowls are being poured out, these are global, which has the sense of finality. We're talking now about the final judgment. This is the final judgment, and you can hear in the anthem and the psalm something of a different tone. There's no call for repentance. They've refused repentance. In fact, as we continue reading on and studying this, we'll see that even in the face of this, their hearts are so hard, like Pharaoh, that they refuse to repent. And in the song that you can see they shed the blood of the saints. There's the act of vengeance or justice here. As they shed the blood of the saints, so they will be made to drink blood. It is what they deserve. They are now getting what they deserve. This is judgment day. This is the end. And it is only affecting those who have this mark of the beast, who are part of the world's system, who have bought into that. Now, as we continue reading on, we're going to see that Babylon is being shaken. This kingdom of man is being shaken. People have bought into everything that it can give you because it gives you everything that the world says is good. And so we see these bowls being poured out and they shake loose everything that the world can give. Man's food. The bowl is poured out into the earth. On the earth. Into the earth. Everything that comes from the earth is what's causes us to survive. We have nothing that comes to come from the earth. We don't get anything out of space yet to try to eat, to drink. And so all of our food in some way or another comes from the earth. Either the animals eat and we eat the animals, well, they will take from the earth and they will get sick. If we try to eat from the earth, we will get sick. And we will break out in these sores and these boils because creation now is turned against man. It's made diseased. Now, when I say progressive parallelism, the commentators disagree, and I can't know yet in my own mind which way that this will unfold, so I'll give you both. There are some who see here a very quick and a very sudden judgment and finality to this, that this happens, and because the people of God are there, this happens. It happens to those who have been cursed. It happens quickly. Judgment day is upon them, and it's done. Then there are those who would say that because it's described as being poured out of bowls rather than it coming suddenly, that there's a gradual increase. And so then that gives rise to maybe some speculation about what's happening in the earth today. And so you would have those who are calling sounding the alarm for global warming, or those who are saying we're poisoning our seas, or those who are saying that we're destroying the earth through our genetic manipulation and that we won't be able to eat those animals. Maybe they're right. Maybe that is happening gradually, and so we are gradually poisoning our seas to where we won't be. It'll kill all of the things that are in the sea, and we won't be able to take them. I don't know. I can see it being very sudden. I can see it being very gradual. But be warned that all through history, people have saw things happening very gradually. If you go back into very old commentaries, you can even find where they make very good arguments and a very strong case for battles at sea where men died during the wars between France and England. And yet we know that that was not the last judgment. And so be careful as you begin to map these things out and say, oh, it's happening progressively because we're drinking water from plastic bottles and polluting our seas and it's killing the whales, therefore we won't have anything to eat. It's against the law to eat whale anyway. So I guess that's beside the point. So whether it's sudden or whether it's a gradual increase, I can't answer. But what I can tell you is it is so severe. It is so severe as to be inescapable because it is final. They get what they deserve. It is the final judgment. And so we see that the earth is going to be cursed. And you can't go anywhere to get anything from the earth. The water is going to be cursed. The sea, which we draw also life from the sea, we eat seafood, that's going to be cursed. And then if we turn to the springs and the brooks and we try to get fresh water, that also will be poisoned to us. Where are we to go? Babylon, the city, is being shaken at this point. It cannot give you anything else. It cannot offer you any relief. It required to take from the earth, to try to master the earth, this broken creation, this creation falling in sin. Still, man tried to subdue and control and offer from the earth those things that would create a heaven on earth, a replacement for God. And so God's striking in judgment will be at creation itself. He's going to restore creation. He'll strike creation, causing the foundations of Babylon to shake and to tremble and to crumble and to begin to fall right before the gathering at Armageddon, which is just ahead. We're coming to that. Right before that final gathering, that final conflict in which Babylon will fall, we see the foundations being shaken now, and man questions whether or not his governments can provide everything that he needs. Because the governments require, which our government right now lives in fantasy, they think that all they require is a printing press, if you'll excuse me for making that speculative observation. They don't think that it's really required to draw anything from anywhere, that it'll just be there magically. Well, there will come a day that the magic ends, and it's just not there anymore. And there won't be any place to draw upon to hand somebody anything, for free or for charge. It just won't be there because when you put it in your mouth, it causes you to be sick. It causes you to break out in these blisters. It causes you to break out in these sores. Again, the sea and also the waters. And then the other is the sun. And here's where it's a little bit different. In the previous releasing of the seals and the trumpets, we saw where the sun was blotted out somewhat, partially blotted out. There'd be a partial eclipse. Here, just the opposite occurs. The sun increases in its heat. And so the sun which brings life and the sun which brings light and the sun which bathes us in its warmth and gives us temperatures that we're able to live in will continue to get hotter and hotter until it scorches us. It scorches the earth and it burns the crops that it once caused to grow. And the sun itself, because God owns the sun itself will be against us. And so the earth and the sun, but God's people are not said to suffer in this because the suffering is unto a final judgment death. God's people are not said to be suffering. So does this mean that it has happened so suddenly on that day of judgment to where God's people are collected and then the earth in practically the same moment is subject to all of these curses and all of these terrible tribulations? Or is it progressive and God shelters His people and He provides for His people during these times of distress? It could be either one. Can God do that? Of course He can do that. Of course He can do that. Look in the Scriptures at how God has placed His hand and protected His people so that they would not starve, they would not go thirsty, and the sun's rays would not destroy them. And actually, there are verses in Isaiah and Psalm that actually allude to that. So it's very possible that God's people somehow, maybe even escaping the notice of those in the world so preoccupied with themselves that they're not watching that the people of God are somehow surviving. It doesn't mean good days. It means surviving. not having the same distresses that they have. God can place His hand sovereignly upon His people during this time to watch out for them. Now the final, these are all in the physical realm. When we begin to move into the next seals, we take it into a little bit different realm. That's why I broke it up here. So as creation is now being turned on its head, what is the testimony about God during this? You can look at Romans 1 to see that as people choose and choose and choose and choose to continue to rebel against God, God turns them over to their own desire. They get their just desert. And here we see this great hymn. Just are You, O Holy One. Just. Someone may say, but You created the earth and You created man, and now You are going to punish Your creation and Your people. What kind of God would do that? And the answer is a just God. A just God. Because in the chapters and in the pages and the verses that we've studied already, we have seen how the people of the kingdom of man, under the rule of Antichrist, and I haven't even mentioned him, and he's enjoying great prestige in Babylon, and then that prestige also begins to diminish as Armageddon is approaching and his days are drawing nigh. And so as we see all of this beginning to crumble, God remembers the distress of His people. He remembers the persecution of His people. He remembers the foul treatment of His people. And now is the time for justice that His people have been praying for. And just are You, O Holy One. Don't think that the titles that are used in the Scripture are just a pick a title for the day. His holiness is what's being shown to us. Just are You who is and who was, for You brought these judgments. These are not random occurrences. God has brought these judgments. For they, meaning those who are of the world, not of the kingdom of God, have shed the blood of saints and prophets. You see, the case is being made. This is the case that's being brought. This is not just a random song. This is not just a verse that's thrown in there to relieve the tension in the narrative. There is a hymn of praise in the middle of the judgments. And why is it that God is bringing this great judgment? Because these are the people who've shed the blood of His saints and the prophets, the one who will bring God's word and call the people back. He says, so You've given them blood to drink out of the springs that they would drink from. Now they have blood to drink. They had a blood lust. Now they have blood to drink. It is what they deserve. That really rivets my attention. It is what they deserve. There is no argument. There is no argument to be made. It's too harsh, you might say. It's what they deserve. But if he were to do something else, they might turn around. They don't turn around when he goes to this extreme. They don't call out. They don't beg for mercy. Such is the nature of hard-heartedness. And this, in the very end, we can see an opportunity to testify. You see, it's only by the grace of God and by the proactive work of the Spirit of God that man's heart changes. Because even in the face of rivers of blood and seas that are dead and stench-filled and the earth, which is now our enemy, even then man will not turn and say, Lord God, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. Even then, he takes his fist and balls it up and brings charges against God. The only one who can save him. And he will charge God with malfeasance. He'll charge God with injustice. He'll charge God as being unloving in the hour of his own demise. Yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. And so, I'll end there. What I wanted you to draw from this is be reminded of the larger scope and the bigger picture of how this fits in, to see the parallels between this and the plagues of Egypt and those that have already been released through trumpets and seals, and also to get a sense of the severity and the finality of this as it is the first stroke in bringing down Babylon. Because the kingdom of Antichrist depends upon the produce of the world in order to fulfill its promises to draw people unto himself. He requires the bounty of the world's produce. He requires the opportunity to provide leisure and joy and pleasures. He requires all of these things to then take from God's creation and give to you to bring glory to Himself. He didn't create. He didn't earn. He takes and He gives to bring glory to Himself. And there will come a day when the Lord goes to the very source of where He is taking the resource and says, I'll turn that against you. And so the foundations of Babylon begin to crumble because the people knock and there is no longer a hand to give them anything. And so Antichrist's allurements begin to diminish just before, again, the Armageddon, which is just before us in chapter 17, I believe. All right, so we're at the seven bowls. Covered four, where creation is now being turned to be hostile towards those who are not of the Lord, and the final judgment is begun. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just and true, we thank You, Father, for Your love and grace and peace, and we pray, dear Lord, that as we depart tonight, that we would live soberly, knowing that the days are drawing short with every setting sun. There is, at the very least, one less. And we ask, dear Father, that You would cause us to be a thoughtful people, that You would cause us, Father, to be contemplative, that You would cause us, Father, to think thoroughly and well and biblically about the matters of faith. And I ask, Father, that You would give us opportunity to call others to do the same for Your glory. We look for the kingdom which is to come, and we pray along with the words of Scripture, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Pray this in Jesus' name.